it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Happy St. Paddy's Day, everybody. Just like to note, Erin means Ireland forever, so I hope that gives you some luck on your bets tonight. Let's get to our 7-on-7. Kev, the bracket is locked in for the NCAA tournament. We have the first four games scheduled for tomorrow, and then on Friday, we have the round of 64 starting. You and I will be heavy on college hoops towards the end of the week.
Yeah, absolutely going to start firing this stuff up and very, very excited to get things rolling. But as you said, the bracket officially locked yesterday, that 6 p.m. deadline to see if we were going to need one of the first four out to become a replacement team, Louisville and the rest of the group that's actually now going to be occupying the NIT. But none of them are going to be in, so this is our field. Hopefully everybody is ready to go come Friday.
Yep, locked and loaded. Speaking of the NIT tournament, that starts today, and we'll break down the games that are happening on the board later in the show. But for those that are unaware, what is the NIT tournament?
Yeah, I mean, again, so this is really the secondary tournament. Typically, a lot of people like to joke, NIT, not in tournament. But ultimately, it is still going to be something that will be fun for us to bet on. Things get opened up today with Toledo and Richmond and Western Kentucky and St. Mary's. Hour number two, we'll break down those games. Should be fun to get some college basketball back.
Yep, and let's switch it over to the NBA. Damian Lillard drops 50 points. I mean, this man is unbelievable. And the Blazers get a one-point win over the Pelicans, but do not cover. I mean, Kev, 50 points, one-point win, you don't cover. It's kind of insane.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. But at the end of the day, they'll have no complaints here about the cover. There was 5 minutes and 50 seconds left on the clock. The Pelicans were up by 17 points and proceeded to lose this game. Damian Lillard, sensational stuff. In the return for CJ McCollum, who wasn't really that great himself, didn't need to be a 50 ball for Dame Lillard.
Also in the NBA, the Jazz get it done over Boston 117-109. Kev, this was a close game for a while, and then the Jazz were able to pull away. I've officially decided I'm no longer betting on Boston as an underdog at home. They always screw me over, but nonetheless, the Jazz get it done.
The question or kind of the idea that I posed last night is, well, the Jazz definitely needed a win against a good team, so this should be a good result for them. But it is fair to question, I mean, just how good the Boston Celtics are. 20-19, not really been producing the results that we expected once they were fully healthy. We're going to be patient all year long with Boston until maybe they're a first-round exit, and then the Brad Stevens rumors will go to a level of 10, maybe? Be interesting to follow.
Yeah, I feel like their bench has been pretty inconsistent lately. Let's move to the ice. So last night, favorites went 4-3. Unders went 4-3 as well. But Alex Ovechkin scores his 718th goal, moves up to sixth place on the NHL's all-time goal scorers list. And Kev, he just keeps climbing up on that list.
Yeah, he has the opportunity to maybe be the standalone greatest goal scorer of all time. Ultimately, though, they got a huge result against the New York Islanders, who were red hot. These teams tied right now atop of the East Division on 42 points, game in hand for the Caps. So that was a big result for them last night against the Isles, and they did it in part because of Ovechkin's history-making goal.
Yes, it was. And then also in the NFL free agency, there are so many things that are going on. We're going to have Adam Kaplan come on later in the show and talk to us about some of the big headlines, especially surrounding quarterbacks. But right now, I want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. So the Texans signed QB Tyrod Taylor, formerly of the Chargers, to a one-year contract worth up to $12.5 million with a base salary of $6 million. The Texans needed a backup QB, but the contract suggests that Taylor could mean more to the Texans. What's your thoughts on this, and could they finally trade Deshaun Watson or potentially get something in return for him?
Tyrod is legitimately the perfect quarterback for the Texans to keep all of their options open. If they need him to start in a pinch, no problem. If he's going to back up Deshaun Watson, yep, that works. If he needs to be a bridge quarterback to somebody that maybe they draft after they get a bunch of draft picks back after trading a Deshaun Watson, yeah, that can work too. I think the Texans got the perfect guy to sit there and wait and keep their options open as it pertains to Deshaun Watson.
So you think the Texans actually got something right for once. Okay, let's move on. The Bears reportedly made a very aggressive pursuit for Russell Wilson, but they instead settled for Andy Dalton, a one-year, $10 million deal with a chance to earn $3 million in incentives. What a bust after all of that hope that the Bears fans had of potentially getting Wilson, even though the Seahawks never came out and said they were actually going to trade him. But Dalton gets the spot. I mean, Kevin, I don't know what to really even make of this, considering that the Bears' odds to win the Super Bowl actually got longer last night.
Yeah, I mean, they should have plummeted at the end of the day. This team was out there doing everything they could to pull Russell Wilson out of Seattle. I understand, easier said than done. Won't take heat from me for that. But the second you got confirmation that Russ was going to stay, you went, well, next best option is Dalton. That can't be. That just cannot be. Stay in the long game here. Figure out what we could do for a Deshaun Watson. Force somebody in that room to pick up the phone. What about a Derek Carr? Call everybody. There is no way I'm dialing the line saying, get me Russ. They go, it's not happening. Like, don't worry, guys. Got the backup plan. All of our jobs are on the line. I know who's going to help us. Andy Dalton. Crazy move from the Bears.
I mean, Bears fans need to be upset. But then on top of that, people who are in the Bears organization need to be upset, because this is obviously, with a one-year deal, just another bridge to another season of potentially, you know, making a run for the Super Bowl and things of that nature. But, I mean, they dropped the ball there. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to talk now about the NBA. So last night, the Jazz bounced back with a big road win over the Celtics, 117-109. The Utah Jazz have failed to cover up in the previous four games, but did cover as four-point favorites against the Celtics last night. Donovan Mitchell had 8 of his 21 points in the fourth quarter, coming up big for the Jazz. You could make a case for him being the hero of the night, Kev, even though I know you don't have him there. But what were your thoughts overall on this game?
Again, this was a good result for the Jazz. They needed a result like this. If they lost this game, I think people would have started to actually kind of hit the panic button on this group. Like, whoa, 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 what's wrong with them now? They can't like beat a good team. But they got a nice result here. They put up 40 points in that fourth quarter. I know there are some foul games there, but they came out firing from beyond the arc, as we kind of expect with this group. 19 made threes in the game, 5 of them from Jordan Clarkson off the bench. Rudy Gobert was a plus 16 in the fourth quarter. In the quarter, he was a plus 16. Rudy Gobert was tremendous for the Jazz in this game, and it's one of the overarching themes that we've talked about, Erin, of Gobert being their most important player, and that's what's going to be the difference maker between the Jazz being able to go into the postseason and actually make the run that we started to entertain the idea of them making, or kind of flaming out and maybe not actualizing their potential.
And let's stick with the Celtics here. So last week, we saw the Celtics lose a competitive game to the Nets, in large part because they got destroyed in the three-point battle. And last night, the Jazz were hot, going 19 for 43. And everyone besides centers Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors made a three. Jordan Clarkson led the way also with 20 points off the bench. So Jason Tatum, since he had 29 points, Jaylen Brown had 28. Is the Celtics supporting cast too inconsistent, especially against good teams?
You know, I think Marcus Smart right now, who's coming off the bench for this group as he still works his way back from injury, is clearly not the same. 2 of 10 from the floor and 1 of 6 from beyond the arc is just not going to cut it for Smart. on a whole, for the Boston Celtics, they really will be kicking themselves for not being up by double digits at the end of that first quarter. The Jazz, only scoring 20 points, had a four-minute drought of no points put up on the board, but the Celtics finished that quarter 0-for-7 from beyond the arc. And they weren't able to extend that lead. It ended up actually, you know, being a game in which the Jazz were up by a point at the break. So they really could have had themselves in a much better position. But Aaron, it really is time for the Celtics' odds in this Eastern Conference market here to change. They have been comfortably all year long the fourth choice. They're 12-1 right now to win the East. The Miami Heat are 16-1. That just can't be the case anymore, because we're not waiting any longer on, oh, well, when will Miami figure it out? When will Miami figure it out? They've figured it out. They're consistently putting results up on the board. The Celtics are not. The Heat have the fourth best record in the Eastern Conference, not the Boston Celtics. So as long as those odds frame Boston in that light, there's going to be value below them, because they don't. They currently have not earned their price in the Eastern Conference futures market.
And I completely agree with you there, especially when you have a player like Marcus Smart having 5 points against the Jazz. Just as they go towards the postseason, if they did make it to the playoffs and whatnot, it just seems like they don't have enough pieces to get it done, especially I wouldn't be surprised if they got knocked out in the first round if they were in the playoffs. But let's switch to another game, Pelicans-Blazers. Damian Lillard again, he had 50 to lead the Blazers to a stunning rally. He scores 20 of his 50 in the fourth quarter as Portland overcomes a 17-point deficit to beat the Pelicans and win by just 1 point, 125 to 124. A couple of things. One, this is a great performance by the Blazers, even if they did not cover as the favorites. Overs did cash, so Kev, I'm sure you love that. But overall, how important is this win for the Trail Blazers, even though they didn't cover?
See, that's the key, right? They needed, I don't want to say they needed this win, but it was a massive win for them. Because, you know, you get McCollum back, you're at home, this is a Pelican squad that has a lot of talent, but is still right now outside of the playoff picture. You want to win that basketball game. And if you could script it up, would a dominant win running them out of your home gym been a great way to do it? Sure. But this is the type of win, the momentum that you can get from this is otherworldly. 50 points on 20 shots is ridiculous. Lillard a perfect 18 of 18 from the line. As a team, the Blazers were 31 of 31 from the charity stripe, and they clearly needed every single one of those free throws to go down as they win the game by one. This type of performance, though, Aaron, is going to catapult now the Damian Lillard MVP conversation. We saw that start to bubble up a little bit on the timeline, keeping this team afloat despite the absence of McCollum for so long, despite the fact that Yusuf Nurkic is still away from this basketball team. McCollum, or rather Lillard, up to the seventh choice on the board, tied with Luka Doncic at 21-1 for the MVP. Caveats still apply. Currently outside of the top four in the West, I think he's going to struggle to bring home the hardwood, the hardware, if they don't get themselves into the top four. But Lillard is going to become a consistent part of the conversation if he can keep putting up performances like that.
Yeah, and deservingly so. I mean, 21, obviously, to one odds, very good for him. But like you said, they have to move up to that fourth spot or so to kind of get those wins. But do you think that the Portland Trail Blazers relied too much on him? Could he continue this? Obviously, scoring 50 points and winning by one, it's a little bit concerning, even though they sit sixth in the West. I mean, C.J. McCollum, he had his first game back, obviously, from a fractured foot. He only had 10 points in 20 minutes, but we didn't expect him to come out and have the best game. I'm sure they're going to be careful with him, especially with his minutes restrictions for right now. But I feel like they're relying a little bit too much on him in a way. I mean, obviously, they have to. He's their best player right now, especially in terms of scoring. But I mean, to put up 50 and only win by one against the Pelicans as well, I mean, the Pelicans have been great, but still just a tad concerning.
Well, ultimately, they were actually in route to getting blown out, which is the issue. I mean, they were down by 17 points with under 6 minutes left in this basketball game. They were about to get ran out of the gym, and the conversation that we would have had around Portland then would have been much different. Ah, man, is this team in a little bit of trouble here? McCollum comes back, is 3 of 11, only 10 points and a minus 8 for the game. And I'm sure that that minus 8 was actually boosted up over the final stretch. So it would have been a scenario, Aaron, in which we would have had a much different vibe around Portland. Mm-hmm. Their schedule from now until the end of March is definitely workable here, and they can keep themselves in a good spot. Still can't stress this enough when it comes to these playoff pictures. For the MVP awards, yeah, you want to get yourself into the top four, but that's secondary, right, for a Blazers team that wants to go to the Western Conference Finals or a Nuggets team that wants to go back to the Western Conference Finals. The big thing is staying inside that top six and avoiding the play-in games that 7, 8, 9, and 10 will find themselves in.
And speaking of the MVP market, Joel Embiid is now in third at plus 600 after being the favorite just a few weeks ago. As you know, he's injured and he'll be out for at least 2 weeks. But last night, the Knicks faced the Sixers on the road coming off a back-to-back, but the Sixers were able to hold them off 99-96. Despite the 76ers covering in their previous five games when they entered this one, the Knicks cover, the under hits, plus the Sixers had now beat the Knicks for a 14th straight time. Tobias Harris, he stepped up with 30 points. Harris got hot in the final minutes. He scored seven straight points, including the tying bucket for a 3 feet out, and a go-ahead layup that made it 96-92. Harris and company needing to step it up in the absence of Joel Embiid. Obviously, they didn't cover last night, but given that this game was that close, especially with the Knicks coming off a back-to-back, had Harris not gotten hot, I think we would have been more worried in this game, and they could have potentially dropped it.
Look, for the Sixers, though, they're still in first place despite the fact that the Nets never lose. You got to give them credit. They've now won six games in a row. They're winning without Joel Embiid, which used to never be the case even during this season. Even when you're like, oh, this is clearly going to be the night the Sixers disappoint, they don't. Ben Simmons has never lost to the Knicks in his career, which is an incredible stat line, and I just think that's wonderful. Give the Knicks credit, though. Back-to-back, top two teams in the East, competitive with both, but bigger picture, back to below 500, down to the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference. They're going to look for a, you know, some more favorable matchups and push themselves back up this Eastern Conference standings board.
Yeah, and Simmons added a double-double last night, but I feel like this was the first glimpse we got of how close a game could be without the big man. They have a game tonight against the Bucks. We'll talk about that later. Stay with us here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We're going to stick with some NBA recap now. So the Lakers blow past the Timberwolves on LeBron's triple-double. This was his 99th career triple-double, and Montrezl Harrell adds 25 as LA wins its third straight game and covers and the over cashes. LA wins 137 to 121. Lakers are just dominating lately. Why was Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards' 29-point performances just not enough last night?
Well, because the team stinks. They gave up 137 points. I love that you said and the over cashes, because you never know with today's NBA totals. Maybe there was a chance that the over wouldn't have cashed with this final score, but it's ended up, look, it flew over the number. Actually, in this one, 137 to 121 is just a monster game. What's crazy is, I mean, it was a one-point game at the half, right? It was like, oh, the Lakers are sleepwalking. They clearly don't care. They're just going to run up and down the court with them. And then they just won the game by 16 and comfortably covered the number here. And I thought yesterday was a good spot to back Minnesota plus the points for a while. That looked like the right move. And then it wasn't.
I listened to you, Kev. I put it in a parlay.
Yeah, well, listen, you know what? My bad. What are you going to do? I thought it was the right side in this game. And you mentioned the LeBron performance, 25, 12, and 12 consecutive triple-doubles. We all know that LeBron keeps his, you know, ear to the ground and pays attention to what's going on around the league. As, you know, people start to wonder, hey, what about James Harden, triple-double every night, MVP? What about Giannis, you know, three straight triple-doubles? Hello, anyone, MVP? LeBron goes out there, doubles up a couple of MVPs on a back-to-back as well. Big performance for the King and remains the rightful MVP favorite.
Yeah, maybe he's checking the FanDuel Sportsbook every night to kind of get a little bit of motivation as soon as Joel Embiid passed him. Yeah. Nikola Jokic coming up on him, so maybe he's checking that. The Lakers have the lowest over percentage in the league at 35.9%, as they only allow 105.9 points per game. So it's interesting that this game hit the over, and seven of the Timberwolves' last eight games have gone over, so I'm not too surprised by that. But just overall, a lot of points were allowed, and obviously they scored a lot of points. We'll move on to the Heat-Cavs. So the Heat just continuing to heat up, now on a five-game win streak. Yeah. They've won 11 of their past 12 games. They just won this one 113-98. The Cavs run it back-to-back. The Heat cover as double-digit favorites and moved to 9-3 against the spread in their last 12 games. Jimmy Butler, he had 28 points, and Bam Adebayo had 14. Now, we talked about this at the beginning of the season, that we were expecting the Heat to eventually heat up, and we are now at that point in the season where they're figuring it out.
I think it's fair to say the Heat have established themselves a part of the top four in the Eastern Conference. They are closer to the Sixers, Nets, Bucks tier of this conference than the Raptors, Hawks, Pacers, Celtics tier. Clearly, the reigning Eastern Conference champions finally getting healthy, and what do you know? Jimmy Butler has been incredible this year. Is going to make an All-NBA team. I mean, is he going to win the MVP? No. But would I listen to the conversation about making a value play in that market on Jimmy Buckets? Yeah, I'd listen to the conversation. Bam Adebayo played his first game since the All-Star break, was dealing with a little bit of a nagging injury. 14 points, 9 boards, 6 assists. Classic Bam Adebayo stuff there. I know it's the Cavs. I know it's the Cavs. But they win this one comfortably. You got to beat up on teams like this. This game was done after three quarters. The Heat just continuing to put results up on the board, and they're staying aggressive just like they were last year. Made some moves at the deadline, brought in Jay Crowder, right? And, you know, Andre Iguodala trying to bolster that lineup. Hearing them right now in some trade conversations, maybe with the Thunder, to bring Trevor Ariza over. That report coming from Kevin O'Connor of the Ringer. So the Heat going to stay aggressive. Clearly, Aaron, a top four team in the East.
Yeah, and coming towards the postseason, they're one of those teams just to keep an eye on because they play so well in the playoffs. And as long as they stay healthy, I feel like I could put some money on them, especially in the first couple of games. But let's switch it over now to the Bulls. They blow out the Thunder 123-102. I need to stop giving out my dogs of the day. I had faith in that OKC would cover since they have won five of their last eight games coming into this. And honestly, one of the best teams against the spread on the road. But I was terribly, terribly wrong. The Bulls get it done. Zach LaVine, 40-point performance, plus holding the Thunder to 16 points in the third helped them. Kev, what are the biggest takeaways from this game?
Well, first of all, give Zach LaVine credit. Goodness me. 40 points on 20 shots, 10 less than Lillard, but he could have used a couple of more free throws. Lillard had 15 more free throws than him. 15 of 20 from the floor, 7 of 12 from beyond the arc, and a plus 36. He was sensational, and had the Thunder kept this game closer at all, he could have had, you know, a 50 ball himself with relative ease. But I do have to bring up the total in this game was an absolute heartbreaker for people. That number, depending when you got it, maybe a 227, 228. This number finishes up shop 225 points. In this game, despite the fact that there was about 140 scored or near that number in the first half. Man, but those blowouts can really, really mess things up. Only 45 points in the fourth quarter. You only needed about 50 to get the job done. Tough stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Great night for Zach LaVine. So, Hawks hold off the reeling Rockets to win their sixth straight game under their new head coach, 119-107. But honestly, for Houston, it just seems like it is over. Their season's over. Their 17th straight loss. What were your biggest takeaways, Kev? Because I know that this wasn't a blowout game. At some point, this was back and forth, and I actually had the Houston Rockets covering because I had some type of hope that, you know, maybe at some point they would turn things around. And then in the first period, I'm like, all right, maybe this is the game where they cover. But then, of course, they lose 119-107.
So a one-point game going into the fourth quarter. I mean, the Rockets were getting their teeth kicked in, as they love to do. And then it was a close game. And then it wasn't. And then they scored 15 points in the fourth quarter. Like, how does that happen? They had a chance to win for the first time in 17 games. And they go out there and put up 15 in the fourth, clearly exhausted themselves by just trying to make the game competitive in the third quarter, couldn't cover a near double-digit spread in their own building against the Hawks team that now finally gets themselves at least to a 500 flat number. Realistically, the good bright spots here for the Rockets, Kevin Porter Jr. looks like a legitimate piece for this team moving forward. 22 points, 8 assists, and Victor Oladipo going for 34 on 13 of 20 shooting. Hopefully they can figure out a way to trade this guy and get a decent enough return, because there's no way he's staying in Houston. Oladipo is probably the biggest name, Aaron, we'll see moved here before the NBA trade deadline comes and goes.
And while the Atlanta Hawks have won their sixth straight game, I'm looking at their game schedule right now. It is six games, but again, this is wins over the Rockets, the Cavs, the Magic, the Heat. Obviously, that was a good win for them. Then they beat as well the Kings. So just all around, not the best games. They were not winning against, let's say, the Clippers or Mavericks, who are playing tonight. These two are facing each other in back-to-back games. The Clippers winning Monday night 109-99. Kawhi Leonard, he played a back-to-back for the first time this season after he expressed his concern after the team's loss to the Pelicans over the weekend. So can the Clippers get it done again tonight after some rest? The odds say that they can, given that they're favored by two, with the total sitting at 226.5 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, so it really interesting stuff here, Aaron, because you had that Clippers team playing at Dallas on leg two of a back-to-back. Kawhi and PG both out there. You know, I know some people still think that shouldn't be noteworthy, but it is for the Clippers. If you follow the NBA, you know that. They clearly wanted that result, and they got that result. And I think the Clippers will look for more of the same. There's a little bit of a rivalry here, I still think, between the Clippers and the Mavs because of the first round matchup that they played in the 2-7 during last year's bubble. Doncic breaking out, if he even needed to break out, you know, the 40-foot game-winning three at the buzzer in overtime. Outplayed Kawhi Leonard for the series, if we're honest. Obviously outplayed Paul George. It's the playoffs. Who doesn't outplay Paul George? But I think the Clippers take it personal when they do see the Dallas Mavericks across from them. Beat them by 10 in their building last go round, laying 2.5 here, and with a little bit of rest. I think the Clippers need to rattle off a couple of wins. It's been a while, Aaron, since they have put consecutive wins up on the board. I think it's a good spot for them to do it. That 2.5 price there is a number I'm not too scared off by. But again, this is what we always talk about here on this show. Imagine you laid 1.5 with the Blazers and said, it won't matter, when you could have just played a minus 122 money line. Like minus 134 on the money line here. Leave the 2 points on the floor. Fine enough for me. I think the Clippers get the job done.
And from a betting perspective, the Clippers are 1-4 against the spread in their last five road games and 0-5 against the spread in their last five games following a win. Maybe that's due to Kawhi Leonard sitting in those back-to-backs. The Mavericks are 2-6 against the spread in their last eight games as an underdog, 4-1 against the spread in their last five home games and 4-1 against the spread in their last five games following a loss. Lots of numbers there. All right, another game on the board. Hornets-Nuggets. I'm excited for this game. Hornets kick off an all-West Coast trip in Denver on a four-game winning streak. Nuggets have gone 10-8 at home this season and are 7-3 in their last 10 games, with Nikola Jokic moving up on the odds boards to win the MVP. Hornets are no easy win, though, and they've been playing their best basketball lately, I would say. Nuggets, though, are favored at home by 6.5, the total at 230. I feel like this line is a little long for some reason. I feel like the Charlotte Hornets have been playing well lately.
They have been. Now, coming over to the West Coast, though, could be a little bit different. If you look at the four-game win streak, Timberwolves, terrible. Pistons, even worse. The Raptors without a lot of their guys. And then the Sacramento Kings, also terrible. Clearly a step up in class for these teams. But I think you got to eyeball the under here. Three straight unders for the Hornets with some of these monster numbers, and the Nuggets have been an under team of recent, Aaron.
Interesting. There's a lot of good games on the NBA board tonight. And coming up after the break, we're going to talk more about them, especially the Bucks 76ers. I'm a little worried about that. Stay with us here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Oily Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We're going to preview some NBA games that are on the board, starting off with the Bucks 76ers. So Milwaukee Bucks look to stay hot. After winning 9 of their last 10 games, the Bucks are averaging 119 points per game, while the Philadelphia 76ers look to build on their 6-game winning streak. They have not lost a game since the All-Star break and have Joel Embiid out due to a bone bruise on his left knee for at least 2 weeks. Considering Philly is on a back-to-back after a close one to the Knicks last night, Milwaukee is laying 6.5 as they come to Philly. Do you think that's justified? And the total right now, which is pretty high at 237, kind of makes sense because the Bucks can score.
So here's my issue with this number, right? I understand Joel Embiid's out, and I understand we got ourselves a back-to-back. Let's say Embiid is worth 4 points to the point spread, right? Okay, so if Embiid was playing to be 2.5, the back-to-back is worth 2 points. Again, maybe. I'm kind of ballparking here. We don't know exacts.
Yep.
But still, so if Embiid was healthy and this wasn't a back-to-back, it's going to be a pick'em in Philly? No. No. Philly would have to be favored in this game. So I think for them to get in 6.5 in their own building is the only way I could play it. Maybe it's somewhat of a principal play here. The Sixers are 3-0 as a home dog against the spread on the year. The Bucks have been terrible against the spread on the road. In general, they're just nowhere near as good on the road as they are at home. I know they've been rattling off great performances. A 1-point win over Memphis before the All-Star break. The Knicks and 2 games against the Wizards. In one of those games, the Wizards didn't even have Bradley Beal in, and it was pretty competitive. For me, I'm going to take the Sixers here. Maybe the Bucks get it done. Maybe they're red hot. Mm-hmm. But what I've seen from Milwaukee, what I've seen from Philly, I'm not going to overthink the back-to-back spot here. I'm going to take the points with the Sixers at home and let this thing ride out.
Yep, the 76ers are 7-2 against the spread in their last 9 games. The Bucks are 1-5 against the spread in their last 6 road games, while Philly is 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 games. I personally right now don't feel comfortable betting anything on the spread, given it is a back-to-back. And Joel Embiid, I feel like maybe this total is that high, 237 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. I know he's not playing, so that shouldn't even really be factored in, obviously, but the over is 5-2 in the Bucks' last 7 road games, and the over is 5-2 in the 76ers' last 7 games. Overall, obviously, they hit the under last night when they played the New York Knicks, but I feel that 237 would be where that total would be posted if Joel Embiid was playing as well. I feel like this game could go under.
It's weird. I think that 237 is really valuing the last 2 Bucks games that were played against the Washington Wizards, and I don't know if we should value those games in the same way. The Bucks have cashed to the over in all 3 games since the All-Star break. They've scored 134, 125, and 133. Their offense has been excellent. You mentioned it, though. The Sixers have been an over team. Now, yesterday against the Knicks, neither team getting to 100. Clearly a bang under in that matchup. But before that, had cashed the over in 5 of 6 games before that matchup with the New York Knicks. The total's just a complete pass for me. I could see the Bucks getting themselves into the mid-120s, and if I think that's possible, and I think Philly plus the points is the play, then I'm not necessarily going to fade this total in either direction. It feels like a number that could very well be too high, but I don't really have a strong lean either direction with this total. It's a pass.
Interesting. All right, another game on the board. Kings, Wizards. Wizards are facing them after a losing streak. They're trying to end that. 6 of their last 7 games have been losses. The Sacramento Kings need a win as well after losing 13 of their last 16 games. The Kings are 2-6 against the spread in their last 8 road games and a terrible 3-13 against the spread in their last 16 games overall. The Wizards, meanwhile, 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 games as a home favorite. Right now, they're laying 3 with a total very, very high, 245.5.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Wizards could hit that over? Do you think that we should lay the points here? They need a win.
Yeah, I mean, look, their last game was a total of 245 against the Bucks, and the final score had 255 points in the game. So, yeah, they absolutely can cash this ticket to the over. Here's the interesting thing with the Kings. Since the break, they've cashed 3 straight unders. Against the Hawks, it was 239. They didn't even get to 230. That was an under. Against Houston, though, 231. 230 points in the game. Against Charlotte, that total was 239, 238 points in the game. They have just been missing those numbers. This is a team that I think can possibly provide some good live opportunities. But we've also talked about this a lot, Aaron. These totals in the 240s have really been a license to print money by betting the over. They cash significantly more to the over than the under on the season. It feels like we've been saying that for a long, long time. So I look at this 245, and I think if at any point it drops sub 240, jump live to the over, because these teams are, from what we've seen from them, they're going to get close, if not end up giving us a game that has 260 points in it.
Yep, well, the over has cashed in 11-4 in the last, in the Kings' last 15 games, and the over is 4-1 in the Wizards' last five overall. So, Kev, you make a great point. If that number does dip down, even live, you might want to take the over there. Let's also talk about the Nets-Pacers. So the Brooklyn Nets have not only won 13 of their past 14 games, but they've covered in 11 of their last 14 games and won their last five contests by an average of 10 points. The Nets are 7-0 against the spread in their last seven road games and 11-3 against the spread in their last 14 games overall. Meanwhile, the Pacers are 0-5 against the spread in their last five home games, obviously, as they take them on tonight. The Nets right now laying 3.5, the total of 232. Do you have a specific pick that you would like in this game, or would you potentially look at player props?
So with this matchup here, you've got a Pacers team that has just been miserable after they came back from a COVID delay, and I'm not blaming it on that any longer. We're far removed, but that's just the line in the sand of when this team has been terrible. They played 9 games. They've covered once. They've only won 2 of those games. But it looked like they were going to get their third win and maybe their second cover in Denver until they opened up the fourth quarter, a quarter that they went into with the lead on the wrong side of a 22-2 run. The classic get me off of the West Coast special from an Eastern Conference team. Excited to be back home. Maybe this game is a disaster for them. I talk about it. All the Nets seem to do is win. That's all they seem to do. They've not covered in 2 straight games, laying a decent amount of points here. Laying 3.5 isn't a number that I think people will be scared off of. But I think this is a spot where I'm going to still take the Pacers plus the points in their own building. This is a huge game for Indiana. They need a win like this. They don't really have wins like this. They need to get themselves something against the better squads in the East. I think this is an opportunity to do it. Caris LeVert's first home game as a member of the Indiana Pacers. I'm going to take a shot here with the Pacers. If they lose, though, we're going to really then have to sound the alarms. This team could find themselves out of the playoffs then, maybe. I'm not saying that this game will decide that. Got to be competitive. I'll take the Pacers plus the points. I think they got a shot to win this game.
Interesting. And like you said, Caris LeVert, he'll be playing back against the Nets this time, which will be interesting. But like you said, I feel like the alarms are going to be sounded tomorrow morning if we're talking about a blowout here. Let's get to another game, Raptors-Pistons. The skidding Pistons are going to host the Raptors, who have lost 5 straight and are shorthanded with their 2 most recent losses by double digits. Norman Powell has stepped up in light of the absences, scoring 30 or more in 4 of his last 6 games. So I will take a look at his player prop tonight. Also, the Raptors are laying 2.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Are you going to lay the point with the Raptors, considering what happened last night?
So this is a spot here where we're just waiting for Toronto to get everybody back from COVID. Maybe one of the more under talked about stories in the NBA right now is the Raptors just being absolutely ravaged by COVID and having to go out there and play without their key guys. Losers of 5 consecutive games really hurt them in the standings right now. They are outside of the top 10, yet only a half game back of the Pacers. They are 2 games back of the 8th spot, which is where the Knicks currently stand. It gives us an indication that they were playing good basketball before all of this happened. This is the kind of game where you look at it and you're like, they got to get a result here. Surely. They have to get it. Like, this team cannot lose a 6th game in a row. They're playing a Pistons team who, well, they're on a 4-game losing streak the last time they won, playing the COVID banged up Toronto Raptors. So really, really tough spot here. It's almost a pride pick, Aaron. The Raptors cannot lose this game. They cannot lose another game to the Pistons. They cannot lose their 6th game in a row. They need this one desperately. They need this one desperately. I lean towards the Raptors. I'll also be interested where they hang this total. The Raptors have now cashed the unders in two straight games, and the Pistons have been a huge under team of recent, 8 of their last 10 games cashing to the under in all of their games since the All-Star break.
Yeah, definitely a tough matchups in terms of betting which team to go with. Also, it's kind of hard for the Spurs-Bulls. The Bulls are riding high off Zach LaVine's 40-point performance as they face the Spurs at home. The Bulls are 10-4 against the spread in their last 14 games, playing on 0 days of rest, and 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 home games. The under is 4-1 in the Spurs' last 5 games overall, and the Spurs are 1-5 against the spread in their last 6 meetings in Chicago. I expect this to be a close one, and the odds makers do as well, with the Bulls favored at home, -1 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot here. Does DeMar DeRozan return for the San Antonio Spurs is going to be a big-time question. I feel like the Chicago Bulls are going to be a popular play for people. They've now won consecutive games in convincing fashion against the Raptors and against the Thunder. Despite being on the second leg of a back-to-back, I think people are going to willingly be backing the Bulls in this spot. Classic, need more information from the NBA, need to know who's in, need to know who is out. For me, no DeRozan was no problem for the Spurs when they played the Magic, when they played the Pistons, right? The Sixers, though, obliterated them. Where do the Bulls fall, you know, on that scale? Somewhere in between. Need a little bit more information as to who's going to be in and who's going to be out. I do want to say, though, I really think the Bulls are going to be a very popular pick today. Do with that what you will.
Let's also talk about the Celtics-Cavs. Both teams on a back-to-back, so who can play better? Obviously, Boston's the better team here. But do the Cavs have enough to cover as a 9-point dog?
Well, oh boy, the Cavs. didn't get to 100 against Miami. What are you going to do? They tried their best. They almost got there. They got to 98. In come the Boston Celtics, leg two of a back-to-back. They are on the season, 3-8 against the spread as a road favorite. Absolutely miserable in that spot. A miserable kind of game. Yeah, the Celtics have what it takes to just beat up on Cleveland, run them out of the gym. But you got to think the Cavs coming back home have to, you know, be ready to try and cash some tickets here, cover a number, plus the 9, right? Am I talking myself into this? Oh, gosh, this is just a
little
terrible,
bit. Maybe you wait for the total to be posted.
Yeah, but what do we want to really do with this total? Game. I mean, goodness me.
Like, maybe we themselves just stay away from it. There's so many great games.
A lot of games tonight.
You know what I mean? Maybe
a lot
we
of games
just
tonight
this one up. Yeah.
On the board. I would lean towards the Cavs, though. Yeah. But, gosh.
Would you? All right. Well, we also have the Warriors, Houston, Golden State. They've been in a rut lately, so obviously they're taking on the Houston Rockets, who just continue to lose and lose. Looking at the betting trends, so the Warriors are 0-4 against the spread in their last 4 road games and 1-5 against the spread in their last 6 games overall. Can the Rockets at some point just cover? Right now they're 11-point dogs.
At some point, maybe. I don't know if it's today. They are at so some terrible. They are terrible.
Coming up next, we're going to give you our hero of the night. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Happy Wednesday. Happy St. Paddy's Day. It is now time for our Hero of the Night.
All right, time for the Hero of the Night. And as we continue to deliver these on a daily basis, it is quite possible I am delivering my most condescending Hero of the Night, but a Hero of the Night nonetheless. And we go to the game where the Miami Heat played the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, if you followed this game and followed it to the last, nothing really happened in the final moments, right, that got this game over the number. It was a low total, about 206.5. Nothing really noteworthy there. No backdoor cover. either direction. Really nothing crazy there. Are we going with a player prop? No, no, no. We're going to give the Cavs a little bit of love here. We're going to make Darius Garland our hero of the night. Got to be tough for Damian Lillard to go for a 50 ball and a 17-point comeback in the fourth quarter and not get hero of the night and somehow lose to Darius Garland. But he loses to Darius Garland because he hits a little 13-foot floater with under a minute left in this game that takes the Cavs from 96 to 98. And that's noteworthy because this team's team total was 97.5. Yep, NBA team. The year of 2021, where the Kings score 120 and the Wizards score 125. This Cavs team, with a team total below 100, they didn't get to 100, couldn't give them hero of the night for that, but they actually hit their team total. They only needed to score 50 points in the second half to do so. That's what they did, the bare minimum from the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll give him some credit whenever they hit 100 again. Who knows? Maybe that'll be in April. But Darius Garland, Aaron, the hero of the night, helping the Cavs get over their disgraceful team total of 97.5.
I'm going to be honest with you. This morning when I was looking at the headlines, I'm like, it's definitely going to be Damian Lillard. And then he scores 50, and he doesn't even get your hero of the night.
Tough
luck. Have to figure out what it is that, yeah, that you factor in here. Stay with us here on the other line. We'll be right back.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.